You're listening to the Gospel Project for Preschooling Kids Weekly Leader Training, helping you teach your kids the big story of the Bible.
Welcome once again to the Leader Training for Gospel Project for Preschool and Kids. On this week's episode, we are covering Unit 25, Session 4, Jesus Raised Lazarus from John chapter 11, a great passage. This is one on my long list of favorite Bible story passages, so just add it to it. What are we talking about this week? What's the big idea this week, Karen?
Yeah, this is a really good one. So it's on your list of favorites for good reason. Yep. I would say it's on mine too. And, you know, this is where Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. So it starts out where Jesus gets word of Lazarus that he's sick. He interestingly waits before he goes to go to Lazarus. And when he gets there, you know, he encounters Mary and Martha. They're distraught. Their brother has died. And then Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead.
Yeah, just a great story, true story with so many different interesting parts that I think this is why this story is loved by so many people. There's so many different connecting points. Mm-hmm. We see Jesus' heart in this. We see the confusion of his disciples. We see the sorrow in Mary and Martha and Jesus interacting with them. Then, of course, the victory of Lazarus raising from the dead. So many great connecting points. So let's go ahead and let's talk about any areas needing caution or extra prep time or anything we want to note up front. Let me start by kind of the elephant in the room, proverbial elephant in the room. Why did Jesus wait before going to raise Lazarus? And while that is treated in the story, I think a lot of kids, when they first hear this, and put yourself in their shoes hearing this for the first time, they may miss this element. So we want to make sure it is clear to them that Jesus waited for a good reason. He was not unloving. He was not uncaring. It's the exact opposite. And we just want to make sure our kids hear this and understand that Jesus waited on purpose because he had in mind this greater miracle. He had been healing people. They had seen him heal. That's why Mary and Martha were distressed. They said, hey, had you been here, you could have healed him because we've seen you do that, my paraphrase. But what Jesus had in mind was something greater. He wanted them to see something different. We have a couple of other examples in scripture where he raised somebody from the dead. It was not nearly as common, and usually it was done in more in privacy. I'm thinking about the little girl where he went into the upper room and it was just, you know, nobody else was there and he raised her from the dead. This was a public resurrection. There's a large crowd here and it anticipates Jesus' own resurrection. John is giving us these miracles. It's a crescendo almost, these seven attesting miracles being amped up, getting more and more intense, leading up to this one that of course gets us into thinking about the resurrection of Jesus himself, pointing us that direction. So why did Jesus wait? Because he had something better in mind. The other thing I want us to be careful about is when Jesus said that Lazarus' sickness would not end in death, he was not wrong. He did not make a mistake. Words matter. Jesus said his sickness would not end in death. It brought death, yes, but it did not end in death. It ended in life because Jesus raised him. So again, you may have some kids, I know of those kids when I've taught that they try to find those little things. Oh, no, Jesus was wrong. No, he wasn't. It did not end in death. So again, just two things to be aware of as we are thinking about the overall narrative flow. How about you, Karen? Anything for preschool, babies and toddlers and so forth that you can think of offhand?
Yeah, just thinking about some of the activities that maybe will require, you know, just a little bit more effort. One is one of the introduction activities in the preschool leader guide. It's called Match the Preview. I thought this was such a great idea. And so what you're going to do is take some Bible story picture posters from previous or upcoming sessions and clip out a piece. And it's that idea of like they see this little piece that's a preview of the bigger picture, which is so what Jesus did in raising Lazarus. But just why that could be an issue is you're going to have to go back and use some of your old Bible story picture posters for this one. And so it's really a good idea. You know, I think a lot of times we're tempted to toss stuff just because we have so much paper. And for sure, we don't want to be pack rats. And if your ministry doesn't have the space, don't. But if you can hang on to some of those old Bible story picture posters you know, there's really a lot of ways that you can use them, and you'll see them come up in different activities. And then to, you know, you can always make them into puzzles or things like that. So I would just encourage you to hang on to those. And, you know, and if you didn't, you know, just know you're going to have to like dig back in some files to pull up some pictures. So shouldn't be challenging, because I think they're from this volume. But yeah. Also, okay, here's one that's going to, that requires prep, but it's simple prep, but it has a really big impact. It's studying decay. So what you're wanting to do is get some fruit early in the week, and then cut off a piece for each day. And you're going to put those in like a Ziploc bag or like a clear plastic container, so kids can see how the fruit decays. And it'd be really ideal if you could have one from 4 days before the session. So again, it kind of sounds gross, but kids aren't touching them or anything. But it's really going to get that a point across and be a really memorable activity to think about. You know, Lazarus was in the tomb for 4 days. Have you ever seen anything like dead and decaying come back to life? No. So I thought that was a really good idea and worth putting in the effort to do that. But you really do, if you want it to work, you can't be looking at the session early Sunday morning and pull it together, unless you just happen to have some rotten fruit at your house. So, yeah. Also, we have an activity on praying for the sick. And you'll see us use just the phrase model gospel-centered prayer a lot of the times when we talk about praying. And so we mention that here. And just to kind of unpack what that means, what we mean when we say that, is that we always pray, you know, with the gospel in view, keeping it central. So when we pray for somebody who is sick in a gospel-centered way, you know, we're not only praying for their healing, but we're also praying that they would come to know the ultimate healer and be saved from sin. So that, you know, one day they will be ultimately healed, resurrected body with the Lord. So we definitely want to train kids absolutely to pray for the sick, but we also want them to have that vision for what's most important. And just, again, until we emphasize the glory of God and that God would be glorified through, you know, the sickness as well. So babies and toddlers session looks pretty standard. So I didn't see anything that really needed special attention.
One thing that I wanted to mention from younger kids is an activity called Good Friends, which is basically where you want to ask your kids what is an attribute that makes them a good friend. And two things. One, think in advance of something for each of your regular kids. Now, if you have a guest, you won't know that kid, so think of something generic as well that could be true of most people. Because my concern there would be the kid who doesn't have anything to add. And we don't want that kid to leave without thinking of something that makes them a good friend. And if that happens, be sensitive to that kid. So again, imagine you're going around the room and you have Billy there, and Billy doesn't share anything, or he kind of shrugs his shoulders, or maybe even says nothing. Actually says the word nothing, doesn't say nothing, but says out loud, nothing makes me a good friend. We want to not only be sensitive in that moment, but later. That would be a red flag for me as a teacher, as a leader, to think, all right, is there something going on in Billy's mind and heart? That would deserve probably a conversation at some point later, just kind of quietly, to make sure that kid is not struggling with worth issues or anything like that. It may even, depending on your understanding of your kids, it may even a comment to a family member or whatever at pickup time or whatever. But again, we just want to be sensitive to these kids who may be struggling with something in these times. When you're asking what's a good attribute for you and they're not able to come up with anything, again, we just want to be aware of these things, be concerned about these things appropriately. So let's move on then to kind of wrapping up what we always wrap up with, what we're excited about God potentially doing through this session. So Karen, what is something that kind of is on your mind for this week?
Yeah, I kind of alluded to earlier just with that preview activity. I think this is such a cool story. And I mean, obviously, even the intent of John writing it, just to like whet our appetites for what's to come with Jesus's resurrection and, you know, ultimately our resurrection. So I just hope kids can kind of, this will get them the prime of the pump for when we get to Jesus's resurrection.
Yeah, for me, this is such a powerful story of God's power over death. He has the power over life and death. And And we see a great miracle here. We see really clearly the coupling of why Jesus performed miracles in this passage, that he performed miracles because he loved people. You see his love for Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, three really close friends. But also you see his glory being manifested. But there's something else that's really cool that I think this is why I really fell in love with this story years ago, is the epilogue that you can find about this in John 12. So the story is amazing as it is, but then if you keep reading from John 11 into 12, you come across this, starting in verse 9. Then a large crowd of the Jews learned he, Jesus, was there. They came not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, the one he had raised from the dead. But the chief priest had decided to kill Lazarus also, because he was the reason many of the Jews were deserting them and believing in Jesus. So I wanted you to think about this epilogue, and it's not hard to imagine. It's also fun because we remember that the Bible's real. This is a real story. Lazarus really raised from the dead. So can you imagine what it was like to hang out with Lazarus after this? I can just see him over and over again telling the story, and I see his good friends like, Lazarus, we know you were dead. We know you had to hop out wrapped up. We got it. You've told us this so many times. Because can you imagine? Lazarus was probably so excited. Hey, did I ever tell you about the time I was dead? And he had this great story to tell, and we see this epilogue. He told it so much that people were coming to trust in Jesus through his testimony, to the extent the chief priests were just as mad at him as they were with Jesus. The reason why I love this is because it reminds us that we have a great story to tell as well. We were not physically dead, but we were spiritually dead, and the voice boomed out to us and told us to come forth and brought us into life when we have trusted in Jesus. So we have just as great of a story to tell. We should be known just like Lazarus. People should be telling us, Brian, we get it. You were spiritually dead. Jesus brought you to life. You've told us that so many times. Why? Because I'm excited about what the gospel has done in me. I fail in this more than I succeed, but this is a reminder that we should be doing that. So if you have time this week with your kids, get to the epilogue in John 12 and encourage them. So thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Leader Training. We hope that you found it helpful as you prepare to teach the Gospel Project for kids in preschool. For more helpful resources, visit gospelproject.com.